Good morning, Nigel. Good morning, everybody. Several times this week, someone has said to me, "What day is it today?" And I have to be honest, I've had to think. All the days are just rolling into one at the moment. But I'm sure that you haven't forgotten that today is Easter Sunday. So happy Easter. But it's not a normal Easter day. Lockdown continues. I wonder if you've noticed what it says on the lectern of the 10 Downing Street press conference podium that's being used for the daily press briefings in these lockdown days. Well, it's really clear on there, isn't it? What it said is stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. And each of those mini slogans, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives, each of those mini slogans is highlighted by a different bold colour, orange, blue and red. You can picture it now, can't you? That's the government's mission in these lockdown days, these coronavirus days. Its mission is to save life. And for the first time in many decades, we are all willing subjects to our government's number one priority. Because each of us knows that the decision isn't, well, really about do I stay home or not. It's much starker than that. The decision, quite frankly, is do I want to live or not? This is very different to any other government priority and the fancy slogans and catchy soundbites. Those things have tended in the past to divide right down the middle of society and through families, causing hostility, fracturing the country in half and opening up old wounds. No, the stay home, protect the NHS, save lives slogan is something that we all agree on. And however willingly or however begrudgingly, we all know that this time what the government says is the right thing to do. The mission is clear: flatten the curve, reduce stress on our NHS and see the death rate from COVID-19 fall. The mission is to save life. Do these things and it will be mission accomplished. Flout the rules and it's mission abandoned. Now, I'm no spokesman for Her Majesty's government. I am, like most of us, a subject of it. So it's not my place, having been invited onto Park Radio this morning, to lecture on common sense that I myself need to heed. What I am, though, is a Christian minister. My job is to teach people and to talk with people about the hope of life we have in Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible is clear. Our greatest enemy is death. We know that now, don't we? We know our greatest enemy is death. That is why we're all so frightened at the moment. That's why there is panic and hoarding, fear and anxiety, uncertainty and frustration and pain. But why is it like that? Well, again, the Bible gives the answer. It's clear that the reason standing behind our greatest enemy, that is death, is our greatest problem, what the Bible calls our sin. Sin basically is mine and yours insistence on turning our backs on God and ignoring him who created us. Now, Easter reminds us that Jesus, in his death on a cross, his burial in a tomb, and his resurrection from the dead 3 days later, has defeated our greatest enemy, namely death, and dealt with our greatest problem, namely sin. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life. Unlike us, he never turned his back on God, and he never fell short of God's holy requirements. And yet, he was despised by religious people and hated by the crowds. So much so that he was arrested that first Good Friday on charges of blasphemy and rebellion against the emperor, even though no shred of evidence could be brought against him. That's because there wasn't any. Although innocent, he was found guilty and condemned to death on a cross, the cruelest form of execution ever known. I wonder, would Jesus have been better just to stay home and save his life, rather than going out and about telling people he was the Messiah and getting himself into trouble, knowing he would die as a result? Jesus, seriously, stay home and save your life. And going to the cross to die, was Jesus abandoning his mission? The mission to prove he was the Messiah? Was his death an abandonment of the mission? Well, no. Jesus' death was for God, mission accomplished. Luke, narrating in his gospel in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus spoke of his departure. And when Jesus talked of his departure, he was talking about his death. It says that Jesus spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish. Now, who speaks about death like that? Who talks of death as an accomplishment? Surely the accomplishment is to save life. That's what it says on the 10 Downing Street podium. That is what we are agreeing on today, because when we die, it is too late. But for Jesus, his death was not the end. It was the accomplishment of a plan made by him before the world came into existence. Well, so what, you might say. So what? Well, here's what. On the third day after he died, Christ Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. C.S. Lewis, the chap that wrote The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, the Narnia stories, all of that, he put it like this. Jesus has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has opened. End of quote. That's good news, because what C.S. Lewis is saying there is that Jesus has beaten death. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we don't physically have to die, and it doesn't mean that death will perhaps be painful. Of course, we will have to die. But for a Christian, dying isn't the end. It's the beginning. So listen to these words, very old words, written in the early 1700s by a man called Jonathan Edwards. Edwards wrote this: when a Christian dies, he has no cause at all to grieve because he leaves his friends and relations that he dearly loves. For he doesn't properly leave them. He enjoys them still in Christ, because everything that he loves in them and loves them for is in Christ. In an infinite degree, whether it be nearness of relation or any perfection or any good received or love to us or a likeness of dispositions or whatever is a rational ground of love. End of quote. You know, those things are only possible, this hope, if we have faith in Jesus to deal with our greatest problem, our sin. And he dealt with that on the cross. There on the cross, that first Easter, he died as my substitute, and he rose from the dead to save life, to save my life. The good news is there is one who saves life. There is one who brings peace that the world can't give. There is one who loves you, who invites you to cast all your care and anxiety upon him. One who says to you, fear not. And his name is Jesus. We would all rather be out doing normal bank holiday things today, wouldn't we? But the fact is, we can't be. We are in lockdown. Life has changed for all of us. Many of our basic freedoms have by necessity been taken away. But coronavirus may well be a wake-up call from God to point us back to his love. A love that brought God down to earth to live amongst us as a man. A love that was demonstrated that first Easter by God himself in the person of his son Jesus, willingly laying down his life, that he might rise again to defeat death and forgive us. When we come to him personally, and as individuals, trust him to save our life,